All right, I'm going to call the meeting to order. The first item of business is approval of the minutes. I move to approve the minutes.
I second.
I just have just something that was not captured in the minutes that might be a friendly amendment, and I'm happy to move this however we want to, but under item four, Josh, it was my recollection that when we were going through the four different aspects of the investment policy, the third one was fiduciary responsibility, and you were going to look into that and kind of come back to us with recommendations and an update at a later time.
That's right. We're going to take a look at that and discuss it with the board down the road.
Great. So that was not captured in the minute, so I just want to make sure that that is captured, because that was not captured anywhere in the minute.
Which page on that?
Page 7?
Yep, it would be on page 7. So that the Attorney General is going to look at the fiduciary comments and provide insight. So I don't know if I need to formally make a motion to include that type of language, or if we can just do a friendly amendment and move on. I'm looking at our counsel.
Yeah, that's it.
A friendly amendment is fine.
Yeah.
Josh, does that work for you, a friendly amendment?
Sure.
So the AG will look at the fiduciary language and report back.
Yep. Okay, so approving the minutes as amended. All those in favor say aye. Aye. Sarah.
Hi, Josh, and I don't think this needs amendments, but I just want to note it. The formatting on the loans looks funny on the document I received, so I just wanted to flag that for whoever's if we're making changes to the document anyway. I just want to note that.
I had a heck of a time getting the loans on here for some reason.
You mean that blank page?
It was going all over the place. It was horrible. It went through other
paragraphs. That's the loans that were in the minutes, right?
They are the right loans, but they're kind of in a weird order and on weird pages. Sorry about that.
No problem. I just noticed it.
Maybe, Josh, we can... I know Mike's going to work on it, but I guess worst case situation is we can add it as maybe a separate attack if we have to. Okay. All right. So the minutes are approved. We're just moving now on to the approval of the loans. There's eight loans today. A little bit over $1 million. Over $1 million.
No, 3.18.
3.2 million. Thank you, Rich. I move to approve the loans.
I second.
Rich, do you want to maybe talk about these loans?
There's not a whole lot to talk about. They're a number of fairly standard purposes, road improvements. There's a few that are refinancing BCPL loans. I don't know. We haven't done a whole lot of that, Josh, but our policy is that we will refinance our own loans. We have a internal policy that puts a hurdle in front of that because we don't have any fees or other costs for our borrowers. If we didn't put some barrier in there, everybody would refinance every time we lowered rates, and that's all we would be doing. And so the requirement that we put to borrowers for refinancing internally here at BCPL is that they have to take out another loan equal to 25% of the amount that they are going to refinance.
Or greater.
The reason for that is because one of our mandates is to generate income for beneficiaries, and that is one way to accomplish that goal.
Josh, do you have any question about any of the loans?
I don't.
I don't either. They seem to be pretty standard, Rich. Do you agree? They're not anything?
I do.
Okay. So it's been So all those in favor of approving the loan, say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, Josh.
Great. Loans have been approved. Rich, do you expect any, what do you think the loan, kind of our, the flow of loans is going to look like for December? Do you think we're going to have?
I already have a number of them in my inbox. So usually a lot of communities like to get their loans approved so that they can fund them in
for the end
current
of the year?
Calendar year.
Okay.
And so, yes, I would expect the number. And we have a lot of loan applications out right now.
Okay.
And I sent 7 more out yesterday.
Okay.
And so, yes, I would expect both at the first meeting in December and the second meeting in December to have loans to approve.
Okay. All right. So we have no old business moving into new business. This goes back to that land transaction that Josh, just kind of jogging your memory back in October, where we were moving a couple different pieces to help sell some land, to get access to additional land, to help with our timber. So maybe before we get into this, Tom, do you want to just walk us through it a little bit?
I'd be happy to. So this doesn't happen very often, but every once in a while we have a situation where we would recommend moving a piece from one trust fund to another trust fund. Because the commissioners are fiduciaries for each of the trust funds, you have to be very careful under these circumstances. But this is one of those where it is beneficial to both funds. So in order to make the big deal work, Wisconsin Valley Improvement Company wanted to, in essence, acquire all of those lands that are currently flowed, including a small parcel that was owned by the Common School Fund. But it's not possible to do a separate exchange with just the Common School Fund, so what made the most sense is to convey that piece from the Common School Fund to the Normal School Fund and then have the Normal School Fund package that with all the other pieces as well. So ultimately, at the end of the day, what happens is the Common School Fund gets paid a nominal amount by the Normal School Fund, in this case, $4,000.
That was an appraised value, wasn't it?
That's an appraised value. The Common School Fund gets rid of a parcel that it doesn't want. The Normal School Fund holds it for a very short period of time and turns around and conveys it with all that other submerged land to Wisconsin Valley Improvement Company. So both funds benefit from this transaction is about the best way to put it. So,
I mean, it made sense to me based on even the conversation we had back in October.
Yeah.
So I move to approve the 40 acres from sale that will go from the Common School Fund to the Normal School Fund.
I second.
Any questions, Josh?
None for me.
None for me either. So all those in favor of approving the land sales, say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, Josh.
Great. Motion is approved. The land sale is done. We're moving into routine business. Rich.
I included the chief investment officer's report for October because we didn't have time to go over it at the last meeting. I really have nothing to add to this. In the interest of brevity, we continue to move forward on a number of fronts. I think that the biggest concern that the investment team has at this point is hiring of outside counsel to move the commitments to the real estate funds forward.
Thanks, Rich. I guess, has there been any, I guess, what's the status of outside counsel or where? And Josh, I'm looking at the phone and, of course, at Tom and Jonathan. Like, is there anything that...
I spoke briefly with the the general counsel for the Department of Administration, and she had indicated that she had previously been the general, the governor's general counsel on these matters, and we had a nice discussion about it. She had indicated that these are not matters that are approved lightly, that they do take time to review that. She understands the rationale for it. She appreciates the fact that there is alignment between the board, the staff, and DOJ on this. But at the same time, she indicated that it does take time for them to review and consider it.
So what I am new to this process. So how does this process work? DOJ has to first approve. No? DOA does?
My understanding is that DOJ passes along a recommendation to the governor's office, but DOJ does not approve it. They're making the recommendation.
DOJ makes the recommendation. Okay.
And this individual that you talked with had familiarity with the subject with the previous governor.
Yes.
Hence was in a position to advise the current governor's staff as to the appropriateness. That's
yes.
The reason for that.
Yes.
That's the connection between DOA.
Right. So normally DOA would not be opining on this at all. It was merely because of the fact that she had served as a previous governor's chief counsel in the past.
Okay.
That's a good move talking to her right there.
Mm-hmm.
Josh, as the legal expert of the board, what are your thoughts and kind of insights on how we best move forward with this?
Well, I think it's more of just a matter of moving it through the administrative process. So I don't where do things stand, Tom, right now?
Where they stand right now is we're waiting for DOJ at this point.
Oh, DOJ. You are in touch with somebody, right?
When I talked to you and Anthony, that was the last time that I had spoken to anybody at DOJ. And I followed up with an email to Anthony, and I have not heard back on that matter yet.
Okay, we can follow up on that.
Josh, this is Jonathan. May I speak for a minute? Sarah, being the longest of tooth of the crowd today, I surmise, and I think I'm accurate in saying this, that the governor's staff are leery of outside counsel, in part because of, they should be leery of something that is not narrowly defined. If it's, litigation strategy or something like that that can create a snowball. So I believe, and I've talked, Tom and I've talked about this, that it may be desirable to define our request and narrow it to the extent practicable for the purpose intended, which is, to help us make an investment decision or to meet the, you can describe it better than I can, Tom, but there are lots of little hooks and crannies in the nooks and crannies in these deal papers that need to be vetted that we may not be able to do efficiently. And if we could define that narrowly, I think that we would go a long ways toward ameliorating any possible objection to our having that authority. Tom's right to you.
Yes, I agree with that. The issue is also, though, in terms of I think it would behoove us to have a conversation with the governor's counsel because of the fact I don't know what their tendencies or feelings are on this matter. Right now we're sort of guessing about this, and I'd prefer to get a better handle on that rather than just sort of guessing as to what they're looking for from us.
That makes sense.
Josh, I'm just going to chime in because I have had some high-level conversations. I think it's best once DOJ gives us the thumbs up to move forward to start having these conversations with the governor's team. I will tell you that from their perspective, this is not request that is out of the ordinary, because it's exactly what DOA uses outside counsel for, is for their capital finance team, for bonding. They hire outside counsel, and that actually fits within the similar scope of what we are asking for. So in my cursory conversations, this does not seem to be anything out of what is very reasonable. But I just want to make sure that whatever we need to do, we're starting to move forward with that, since I know we had almost a very similar conversation over a month ago, and time is of essence, so I just want to make sure we are doing what we need to do, I guess, at least from where I sit, and Josh would be appreciated too, where you sit as leading DOJ, that we're not becoming bottlenecks and kind of moving this process forward.
Yeah, I'm happy to follow up and see where things stand on this.
Okay. Great. I appreciate that, Josh. Anything else, I guess, on that piece with the real estate transactions? Kind of our overall general counsel and getting help with these deals?
Nope. I think that's a good summary.
Okay. Thanks, Rich. Jonathan.
Yeah, I have a brief little report that I just wanted to bring your attention to. You may recall that we had a big storm in late July of this year that blew down a lot of trees up north.
Mm-hmm.
The magnitude of that storm was really large. It actually knocked down what amounted to a two-year supply of all timber harvested in Wisconsin. And as a result, the timber prices have declined precipitously as loggers are actively engaged in salvage rather than bidding actively on new timber harvests. Other counties have, some of the counties, I think of Iron and Oneida, experienced for the first time practically in their memory no bid letting offerings, so that nobody bid on the thing. So two things. One is that John Schwartzman, our chief forester, and Kevin, our forester, and Tom and I have all discussed this, and we're in agreement with their recommendation to decline this year on having the, quote, fall bidding cycle, and instead wait until January for a January bid cycle, which would enable them to package some of the lands we're going to be getting from Anakwa Timber, and set up a situation whereby in a January and then a spring bid, we may be able to advance a timber harvest on some of our sandier upland soils, which are likely to get much better bids. So that is the strategy right now. The main thing is that to note that that impact is not insignificant, and it could reduce our timber revenues, but that the staff have made, a very good recommendation to try and maximize them under their conditions. But there's no board action required on that.
I was going to say, does the board have to take any action?
I don't because it's out of the usual, it's storm of this. When's the last one we had of this size, in the 1970s?
Yeah, it's been a long time. I did not realize that 2 years' worth of timber blew down in one day. I knew that it was a big storm, and I knew it impacted the timber markets, but I didn't know how long the
impact
that it would last. And when you realize 2 years worth of timber came down in one day, how that would impact the loggers, the mills, the whole food chain for the wood products industry is substantial.
Mm.
And because of that, so many loggers have been busy salvaging wood during this period of time, that timber sale prices had dropped. And so, does this have an immediate impact on us? Not really. What it does is it impacts us down the road, because when we sell timber, the contract is for 3 years, and so normally that timber is going to be cut a little bit further out. But at the same time, a lot of loggers are not actively bidding.
They're actively bidding right now.
Right.
It kind of works itself out.
It works itself out over time.
Yeah.
Yep.
But what we want to do is ensure that, in essence, if we're going to sell this, we're selling it into an active market, not into a market that's not really functioning well.
Right,
but
right.
Also, a lot of the hardwoods that are blown down have a short lifespan, shelf life on being blown down. They start going bad as it relates to having quality timber or saw logs.
Yep.
So there's going to be a lot of waste involved in this as well.
No, I appreciate the heads up.
And I should say, we escaped any blowdown. In our property, we were very close to all of this, but no substantial amount of our land experienced a blowdown.
Really?
Yeah, so we came out unscathed on the timber being knocked down, but we're feeling the effects of the surfeit of timber in the system now.
Yeah, the industry, yeah. Wow, 2 years, though, that's a lot.
It is a huge amount.
That's significant.
That's all I have.
Well, that's a big blow.
It is a big blow. Good line.
Josh, any questions about that?
Nope.
Great. So just moving down to my report, there are two things I have. One is more administrative and wanted to talk about the meetings for December and January. Right now we have a meeting for December 3rd and then another meeting for December 17th. I will likely not be at that December 3rd meeting. I don't know if Doug will be here either. So we just might need to revisit that. That was part of why I want to make sure that we're not causing a delay with any of the municipalities that need loans, Rich. I just wanted to kind of see what that pipeline looks like. But I will probably 99% not be here. And so if it's just Josh, we don't have a board meeting. So I just wanted to make sure that we talk that through and we're planning accordingly.
Is there another date around that time which would work for you?
Well, I'm due December 2nd.
Oh, well.
So I don't really, I mean, to me, it's more, do you want to work with Josh and Doug just to make sure that they can have that meeting? And then I would ask if, Josh, if we are moving forward with the third, and if Doug can be there, Josh, if you could chair that meeting while I'm out.
Is it possible to accelerate the meeting if the loans come in, Rich? Like another meeting in January.
Well, you can certainly change
December.
The date of the meeting. I mean, but let's find out when Doug's going to be around,
right.
I guess, would be the point.
So I just want to make sure that we are planning either for a contingency if we can't make that meeting happen. Can we do everything on December 17th? I don't know if we can wait that long. So I guess
I think that would present some difficulties for some of the
municipalities. So if that is the case, I guess, if we can just make sure Doug is in here on the 3rd,
we'll do that.
Okay. And then, Josh, if we move forward with the meeting on the 3rd, can you chair this meeting in my absence?
Yeah, I can, or I'm sure Doug can, too. Either way.
Great. And then the second administrative piece is for the meeting in January. So we right now have a meeting January 7th. That would technically be Tom's first meeting as the executive secretary. Fortunately for Tom, his daughter is getting married, but he will not be here on that day. And so I do think it would be nice that our first board meeting, Tom, is present. And so thinking about doing it on the 16th of January instead.
Is that already a scheduled
date? I'm just proposing that. And I guess I can leave this, Josh, for the staff, but I am basically, I think it would be nice for Tom to be at our first meeting in his new role to kind of kick things off.
Yeah, the concept makes sense to me as long as we can figure out the network scheduling-wise, and then as long as it's not going to have any impact, obviously, on you know, the loan application.
Great. Okay. So if we can just work on, I guess, those scheduling pieces, that would be, I think, helpful as we just look at December and January. Then the second piece that I just want to kind of talk about is the investment policy and our conversation that we left off with regards to working with Carrie. One of the things that I think we just need to think about in regards to this work is what are our board policies that manage this. To date, our board policies are anything that is under $5,000 and in kind of doing this work, whether it's appraisals, what have you, that's within the framework of how we operate as a board.
Or regular incurred expenses.
Regular incurred expenses. And so my kind of question is, this fits under the policy, in working with Carrie to move this investment policy over to where we need it, that would be under the $5,000 mark and within the board or within the policy to do these just general financial transactions that we do. That's nothing out of the usual. And so I guess in my mind, the request to do this fits within that. And so, Josh, I want to talk to you about that to make sure that if there aren't any questions or if you have any concerns.
Well, I would want to see a financial case for why, you know, this is beneficial. I mean, I certainly take the points you've made about that we want to make the investment policy, you know, as strong as we can. But I also think, you know, it's a very different situation from an investment policy where you have, you know, investors who are, you know, putting money into an investment, and you're attracting investments, and so I don't see it as it seems to me like we would be better off if we're going to spend resources to send them elsewhere.
So yes, Mike. So we have the resources to do this. We have the budget to do it. It's under the threshold, and we want to push this over. And I think we would benefit significantly. And I'm currently working with Carrie and Tom on the scope to ensure it fits exactly what we need.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see how it helps. I get the benefit of working to improve it, but it's certainly been through an extensive process in preparing it, and I would rather save the resources.
So do you have any recommendations, Josh, on how to move forward?
Well, I think that following up internally and having, to the extent that there are changes that we think ought to be made, to suggest them to the, you know, to the staff, that makes sense to me. I just, it's very similar to the policy that was in place previously, is my understanding, which was, you know, certainly sufficient to its purposes. At least that's my perception of it. And so I don't see the, I don't see there as being a significant benefit such that I would want to make the expenditure.
So I guess my question is, knowing that it fits under the board's policy to meet under the $5,000 threshold to do this kind of work in order to be needed, We still want it to go to a vote, to bring the proposal to go to a vote, to talk about the scope. And we want to open up expenses moving forward that are under $5,000 to make sure the board's approval with these kind of resources.
Well, I view this as different from routine things, in A, because it's not routine, and B, because it's an issue that now has come up before the board. And so, you know, once we are spending board time, you know, focusing on it, I think it makes sense for us to weigh in on it.
Because I guess the reason why I ask, Josh, in my mind and how this is categorized, it fits under things that we do like due diligence. And those kind of categories, when we come to managing and ensuring our, you know, fiduciary responsibilities, and so this is no different than that, that we've been doing throughout the year that meet under that $5,000 threshold. And so I guess I'm just trying to understand to make sure that I provide whatever information is needed to move forward.
Well, this is different from the process we do for due diligence, right?
I mean, it's a process to make sure that we have a process for due diligence, one would argue. It's basically our investment Bible is what it is, which is due diligence to uphold that we are investing public money in the way that we are supposed to and provides clear guidance. Which to me is a really, really big responsibility and something that I take incredibly seriously. Which is why I think I would rather make sure that we are doing this right and invest the resources to do that, that are within the purview of the board to do that, that meet that threshold of the policy.
Yeah, but this is a policy. I mean, here's the thing from my perspective. It was vetted through a lot of folks before. It was reviewed, I believe, by the Legislative Study Council, committee, rather. And I'm not sure why bringing in one particular person who was not selected through a competitive process is something that we think is going to, again, I'm always happy to get input, but I also want to make sure we're being very careful about how we spend our resources.
I guess, correct me if I'm wrong, but the study committee did a lot of different things under its current purpose. I think one of it was looking at how it invests money, but I don't think it was a deep dive into the investment policy. Unless I'm missing something.
The staff could speak to this better than I could, certainly. That my understanding is consistent with yours, but my point is, I mean, I agree with you that we've got significant, that we need to take our investment responsibility very seriously, but I don't perceive the current policy as inconsistent with that, and in fact, it's gone through, a number of layers of review and vetting. And so if anything, changing it, based on a single person's input, again, I think we should work as a team to do that, but I don't know why input from one additional person is going to make a big difference such that it makes sense to spend the resources.
I mean, I'll be honest, I'm kind of at a loss because I don't feel comfortable where things are, and I've expressed that in a memo. I don't really know how we kind of best guide through this because the reality is I don't feel comfortable that I, like, write this on my own or make these edits. I think we would I think that this is an incredibly important document because it is the Bible to how we invest public money, and I would rather make sure that we do this to the best of our ability. And so in thinking through what the best solutions are, knowing that we have limited resources and we have a limited team that has been doing this, myself included, as part of that investment team and been working in that. This is kind of a best case way to move forward that A, didn't require all this additional time of staff as we move through not only approving loans and end of the year wrap up, but also with the transition of a new executive secretary and with me out. I'm just trying to make sure that we do this in a very diligent way, understanding the resources that we have available, understanding the challenges in which we are facing intimately. And so I guess, Josh, that's where I've put together this recommendation. And so knowing that that is something that you're not necessarily, that you don't agree with, I guess I'm just looking for other recommendations.
Well, at the last meeting we talked about seeing who had, you know, whether this person was willing to provide input free of charge, and that was sort of where we had left it. But I also think we, you know, we gave the staff at BCPL some points to think about. You know, they're the folks who know how BCPL's been investing, and you know, can identify I think issues there. And the extent that we have concerns with suggestions that people have made, I think we look at those and make changes. But, you know, to me, having someone consult without going through those steps, I just don't think is a good use of the money.
And help me understand those steps, Josh, because I guess I don't understand them.
Well, you identified some areas where you thought we might want follow-up from in revising the plan, and I think having the staff take a look at those and telling us what they think about those in some more detail makes the most sense. I mean, we, you know, at the last meeting we discussed some of those areas, and on some of the points, I certainly agree with you that we should look at that and figure out if there are ways we can improve, but I also thought there were some areas that the board had, or that the staff had, you know, clearly already thought through, like the issue about, you know, what's covered in the types of submitted investments. And the extent that the board has already, that the staff's already thought through those things, I think that's where we should start, is having them make, you know, their recommendation as to the four issues you raised.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm at a loss. I don't know how to move forward. I'm thinking, I'm like trying to think through this, but I'm just at a loss.
So, Josh, this is Tom. It's my understanding that what you're articulating are two different points. One of them is you're concerned about the cost and using resources in this particular manner. And secondly, it seemed like you were identifying a concern about having a single viewpoint as opposed to a more collaborative process that brings in the beneficiaries and stakeholders and other people that have been associated with our operations and our distributions. My understanding is that when you talked about having Carrie participate in this process, that she would be doing it in a collaborative manner that would involve both staff and perhaps those other stakeholders. And so the single viewpoint of Carrie was not so much that she would be governing the process, but maybe help guiding, bring some of those other points in. In terms of the cost, yes. We always try to be frugal with our dollars. I joke that sometimes we squeeze the nickel too hard, that the Indian rides the buffalo sometimes. as long as the dollar amount is kept into a range that's very manageable, especially if it's under five. It's something that our budget can handle. So,
I don't view it that way. I don't view it as what our budget can handle. I view it as, do I think it's a good use of resources? And, you know, the areas that were identified for changes, I think, are ones that are, I largely think are worth looking into and suggesting that our BCTL staff makes changes. But I also don't perceive them as ones that are not easily remedied by the staff, such that we can make changes and improve it. So my view is that that should be the next step here, is to ask folks on the staff for their thoughts on that. And that's who's been working on it to this point, right?
It's been the investment committee that's been working on that, yeah.
I mean, to me, this is sort of I view it as the next step in the process of revising it, which is, we've provided input from the chair and, you know, people who've been working on the document ought to, it makes sense for them to make proposed revisions.
So it sounds like your recommendation, Josh, is we come back at the next meeting and talk about these changes.
Well, I think we had a chance to begin talking about them at the last meeting, and I think the areas you've identified are clear, and I think having BCTL staff, you know, sort of respond to those more fully or explain, you know, either why they think there aren't changes or how they think the changes ought to be addressed makes sense. I mean, for example, the audience question that was raised at the last meeting, I think there's a pretty, you know, we can discuss what that ought to be, but I think there's a pretty straightforward way of addressing that. That was my impression in general too.
So with the audience, I guess, who do you think the audience is for the investment policy?
Well, that was one of the things we discussed at the last meeting, and the staff went into it. But I mean, it's part of the reason I want to be thoughtful about using resources is I don't think that this is a widely read investment policy. So I think what's critical is that the staff at BCPL that's making the recommendations about investments is on the same page as the board about what those recommendations should be. That's the key. But that's obviously open for discussion if others disagree.
Yeah, I guess when I look at the investment policy, I think of it as, one, we should be able to understand it as commissioners and know what it means. The investment committee should know what it means. And people who help us manage our finances should know what it means and, like, easily understand it. Because, in essence, it's implementing how we manage the fund.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And having a, you know, as we discussed last time, an executive summary that goes at the front, I think, would be quite useful. But, that's also something that it sounds like I think Rich has already prepared it for use in other contexts.
So I guess just saying that, Josh, that's the one, again, reason why I flagged it is because these were concerns if this policy is for also me as a commissioner to ensure. I just had concerns. But if you feel good about reading it, then I think that you're part of the audience.
Well, I think the areas that you identified are ones that it makes sense to have the BCPL staff take a look at and tell us what they think. So that's my take on the next step.
So the next step is to come and kind of provide additional feedback with regards to those four areas.
Well, and I'd be curious what the Tom or others think, but I think the memo you laid out was very clear about where the areas were, and we had some discussion about it at the last meeting. So to me, to the extent that there are questions, I certainly think it makes sense for folks on the staff to follow up, either with you directly or with me directly or at the next meeting, But I also think there's probably fairly clear guidance about areas where we were potentially interested in follow-up.
So if I'm hearing your recommendation, Josh, is that staff comes back at the next meeting to make recommendations on how they address those four areas.
That's right. Or if they think, you know, their view is that we really shouldn't be making a change and here's why, that we take that approach.
So at the next board meeting to come, which right now we're not sure entirely when that will be, to make these recommendations.
That would be my suggestion, as long as the staff thinks that's feasible.
I mean, they just said, yeah, they're comfortable with whatever the board recommends. I will say that when this is discussed, if it is discussed on December 3rd, I will likely not be there, and I'd like to be at that meeting.
Sure, I would suggest, if you want, you're the one whose thoughts sort of led to those suggestions. And so if it works for you, I mean, I certainly am fine with you communicating with BCPL staff, you know, directly on this as you're revising it. And then, you know, when things are presented at the next meeting, we can either, you know, delay any vote on it until you're able to make it, or, you know, or handle that however you think best.
So it sounds like the next step is we will, because all that stuff is captured in my memo, and we will wait for them to come and provide feedback at the next meeting that I can attend.
Yeah, that's up to you. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is I'm also fine if you want to review drafts as they're going and weigh in. That, you know, we obviously have to meet as a group to consider them collectively and to vote, but, you know, if you were involved earlier, that's certainly fine with me.
Yeah, I'm just also trying to be realistic on, like, the current situation, Josh, and I will be as involved as I can, and I've been as involved as realistically possible up to this point, which is why we're here today, like, at this current place. So.
Yeah, I'm happy to handle the schedule of the review, however you prefer.
So I guess we will aim for this to potentially be to talk about these recommendations on, let's say, the December 17th meeting. Unless there's another recommendation sooner.
That makes sense to me.
Okay. Any other agenda items since we've gone over?
I would like to mention something. This is Rich. Because of the approval of the amendments or changes to the investment policy have been delayed somewhat, I have some concerns regarding the flexibility of the asset allocation. The new asset allocations that are proposed in the investment policy include some asset classes that we do not currently have authority for. And I think that additional flexibility may be important in the near term in addition to the long term. You'll remember last December, there was a huge fall in both equity prices and in bond prices over just a short period of time, the week of Christmas. And I think that one of the areas that we may want to consider if a similar situation occurs in the future would be corporate bond ETFs. And the new asset allocation includes some flexibility in that area. And so if the board would like to, would appreciate, the staff, I think, would appreciate maybe approving the allocation portion of the investment policy at the next board meeting rather than wait until later in the month. Just because it's impossible to predict when market fluctuations like that will occur. I don't know that there was any discussion or concern regarding the new allocations, and so if we could separate those out from the remainder of the investment policy and take a look at those at the next board meeting, I think that that would be something that I would recommend.
Yeah, and I would also be happy if there are changes we can make now that, you know, are going to make sure that you're prepared to react as necessary. I'm happy to take those up now or at the next meeting, whatever you prefer.
I think what I would feel comfortable is adding ETFs to the current policy. I guess my concern, and when I talked about the permitted investments, is that the way that the permitted investments are structured is we don't, for example, some things are very detailed and some things are not, and I really would appreciate if we had a better clarity on how those were organized and weighed. I think it's confusing. For example, like the, to me, when I read it as a user of the policy, I did not necessarily assume that the state trust fund loan program was part of our investment, permitted investment, and that is $400 million of our portfolio. So I just think that there is some clarification in how those assets are classified and how we are implementing and the weight associated with that that gets confusing as a reader. And if I'm a reader and I'm an end user of this policy, I want to make sure it's clarified. So if ETFs are something that we want to add, which I think is a fair piece, rather than opening up and approving it all, because I think there's some work that still needs to be done, I'm happy to like go forward and just add that piece.
Could we have an investment committee meeting prior to this? Can fit in your schedule, you think?
Yeah, I think we can. We can definitely try.
Okay.
I mean, Josh, how do you feel about the permitted investments when you read through them?
I both agree with the point that you made, Sarah, that it would benefit from thought about how it best should be organized, but I also, you know, I took the point made at the last meeting, which is that there's broad category for loans to local governments.
There should be broad category, right.
And so it certainly does capture what those investments are. It doesn't mean we can't improve it, but I guess, does it make sense for us to go ahead with the change that I think that was Rich was recommending now?
To add corporate ETFs to the list, the current list?
To the allocation.
To the current allocation list?
As much as Rich would say, yes, I'd love to do that, because we haven't really put that on our agenda as something that would be queued up for a vote today.
Yeah. We've gone through the right process.
I don't think we've provided adequate notice.
That's why I brought up the idea of having an investment committee meeting and make a recommendation for the next board meeting.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So why don't we take that up the next meeting?
Right, we can certainly put together a resolution to accommodate
corporate ETF.
Yeah.
The need.
Yep.
And I would echo Rich's and Sarah's comments. I mean, the fact is, we don't know what the end of the year is going to look like in terms of the timing of things. It's always good to be able to react to the market in real time instead of coming in weekly.
Yeah, and I would add in response to that, if there are other changes that you want to make sure are in place prior to the end of the year along the same lines, I think it makes sense for us to take those up at the next meeting, because the broader question about what changes to make to the investment policy, doesn't need to slow down changes that should be made to give the kind of flexibility that folks need in the shorter term.
Okay, we'll take a look. Thank you.
Anything else for the next meeting?
Nothing for me.
Nothing for me. Anything else from the staff?
I have one last thing.
Okay.
With that big real estate transaction that was approved last month, we are moving toward closing, and so I will need signatures on land patents in the very near future. So I would greatly appreciate it if you'd be available to do that. So thank you in advance for helping.
You need all three of us, right?
I need two out of three.
Okay. I'm sure Josh will be available, as I will be available to the best of my ability.
Don't you go disappearing into the hospital. We'll thank you right now.
I'm great. It's right over here at Meritor.
I'm issuing my thank you to the commissioners in advance. Thank you.
All right, well, seeing if there's nothing else on the agenda, I move to adjourn.
I second.
Great. All those in favor of adjournment, say aye. Aye.
Aye, Josh.
Aye, Sarah.
Aye, everyone.
Take care.